Hi, and welcome back to Uncited, the internet's least reliable English lit podcast. I'm Chantel.
And I'm Amy.
And Amy, I have some news of what's occurring today.
Chrysler?
What? I beg your pardon?
Mary Chrysler.
What?
Tis not the Chrysler of the day?
I don't even know what you're saying.
Merry Christmas.
Not a sponsor. All right, so that started great. No, today, What If comes out on Disney Plus.
Fun!
Not the today for us, but the today for the future when this episode comes out. What If will be coming on Disney Plus, the next season of it. And
yeah,
I know words and I have an English podcast. Listen, okay? So in honor of that, which we definitely knew in advance and didn't just find out right now as we were about to start recording, we are going to be covering What If Magic Became the Sorcerer Supreme, a Marvel comic that our dear friend Zach recommended to us.
So it is Christmas, or as I tried to call it, Chrysler. I was trying to keep it non-religious, Chantel, with my Chrysler. So, dearest Zach, friend of the pod, host of the pod, has been asking us very kindly and patiently.
Begging incessantly.
To read a comic. And we have been like, yeah, sure, send us a comic. And then we're like, God, that's long.
For the past, like, year and a half or so.
Yeah. And I was like, that's going to be so hard to read because of the dyscalculia and the dyslexia. And I can't read comics. And then he gave us this, What If Magic, published in 2018. And then he told me that if I read it online, I can use a guided view.
Yeah.
Which makes the whole reading comics thing that I find hard a lot easier. So it took me 16 minutes to read this.
Yeah. If you have Marvel Unlimited, if you're one of the three people who listens to this who has Marvel Unlimited, then you can read it like that. But if you're one of those three people who has Marvel Unlimited and listens to the podcast, you have probably already read it.
So today we're going to be making a nice little Christmas present to Zach, who wanted to be here, but Zach has a demanding job and deserves a break. So that's what we gave Zach, because we love him and we're giving him this podcast episode.
And it was a really good comic.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it a lot.
It's almost like we should have listened to him and taken all his recommendations into account, because he was probably right on all of them. Let's be real, he's Zach.
Maybe. So I think the way to do this one is that we went in pretty much blind.
I went in fully blind.
Yeah. Like, I knew who the Sorcerer Supreme was. It's Bernadette Cucumber.
Uh-huh.
That's your favorite joke, right?
Yep.
Yep. And I know that Zach sent us a prepper. I didn't read it before the comic. Certainly I did not.
Neither did I.
So I think we should frame this the way that it was framed to us, because then people get the same experience as we got.
Correct.
And that's pretty fun. So we got a little preamble before the comic explaining what it's about. And then Amy can do a little summary. And then Zach has kindly given us a backgrounder of who Magic is outside of this hypothetical scenario. Also a backgrounder on what the What If series, if you don't know what that is. The Marvel Comics has many versions of the characters.
Too many.
Yeah, but they're all canon.
Universes of people.
Indeed. There's universes. There's alternate universes on which each timeline lives and is a canon event. These ones are none of those. It's like, what if such and such had happened instead of such and such? And it like shows how those characters would have evolved in a different way if they had been placed in a different situation, but it's not canon at all.
Yeah, if you were like on Tumblr in 2013, a holly to the real ones, this would be called a crackpot theory.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. So before we read the comic, we get, I'm just going to read the little paragraph that they give us.
Okay.
Before she was magic, Ileana Rasputin was just a kid whom Limbo chewed up and spit out 7 years older. So it's no surprise that at 15, she wants nothing to do with the X-Men, nothing to do with the New Mutants, and nothing to do with her own powers. It's not even surprising that she runs away. But where and who she ends up with? Well, that's something you've never seen before.
Yeah, so following that,
I'm going to do my best to summarize. But before I summarize, there is like some implied sexual violence is what I'm going to go with the content warning here.
Yes. And later in the backgrounder that we're going to mention, we're also going to talk about that again. So
bear that in mind.
If you're not comfortable with that, we will bring it up again right before we talk about it. So you can skip forward 30 seconds.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to do my best here.
Sorry, Zach. I love you so much.
Okay, so Magic is a like blondie girly type, but she's like rough around the edges. And so we meet her and she's like a hitchhiker. You know, she's really hitting off all those like teenage anarchist vibes. And she gets into a car with a guy and he's all like, I'm a macho guy. I'm giving you a ride. Also, maybe you could get a ride somewhere else. And she's like,
oh, yikes.
Go fuck yourself. And then Doctor Strange of the Benedict Cumberbatch fame shows up and is like, fuck this guy. And helps her to like tell the bad guy to fuck right off.
Seems like he's trying to defend the bad guy against her at first.
Yeah.
Until he realizes what's going on. He's like, oh, there's been a bunch of attacks.
Magic-y types. Yeah.
There's been weird attacks on like creepy men and criminals. The type of people who would attack a 16-year-old girl wandering about alone.
I think Doctor Strange, from what I understand of Benedict Cumberbatch's rendition of him, seems to be like the kind of guy who's just like, sees abnormal activity. Probably a problem. Doesn't take a second to like think about it really.
Sure.
Just like, gotta look at the problem. Like, that's just a data set. And then he gets there and he's like, oh, the data set has a face and she's 15 years old.
Right, yeah.
So then, you know, they chat a little bit and Ileana, that's her name, I hope, is all like, pie bitch, I don't need you in my life. And Doctor Strange is like, no, you do need me in your life. And then they do like a hip hop, hippity hop hop, hip hop, hippity hop, portaling through the world.
Cause she's trying to run away from him because
he's a creepy guy with a beard.
Yeah.
They end up at the Sanctorium Resatorium.
The Sanctum Sanctorium?
Correct. Which is Doctor Strange's house.
I want to read from the panels here because I think that their dynamic at the beginning when they first get to his place is so funny because she's like, what the fuck? You know?
By all means.
Because she's obviously a traumatized kid. We don't know what's happened yet except for that she is a kid that Limbo chewed up and spit out 7 years older.
Yeah.
We're going to find out more about her. But she's like, I'm not comfortable with people kidnapping me.
Bet.
Strange. I know. Doctor.
On God.
So he introduces himself. He's like, my name is Dr. Stephen Strange. This is my practice and residence, the Sanctum Sanctorium.
I wasn't wrong there.
Sanctum Sanctorum. Please don't touch anything, especially not the magical artifacts. Strange. Believe it or not, I had that name before I was the Sorcerer Supreme of this dimension. You're the Sorcerer Supreme? What a rude word to emphasize. Yes, I am. I think that's delightful.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, Wong, we have a lunch guest. And she's like, what a rude word to emphasize.
They have like a very like fun buddy cop mentory thing, which is a lot of fun.
Yes. The banter is on point.
Yes.
They have this back and forth. He's like, do you like pastrami? She's like, what's pastrami? He's like, Wong, she's feral and has never had pastrami before.
So this prompted me to like message Zach and be like, why are we so obsessed with pastrami all of a sudden? Because I was confused about the pastrami, but it's a New York thing, apparently.
Yeah, it's a lunch meat.
Can I continue?
No, I want to keep reading.
Okay.
Just one more fun little interaction that they have.
Perfect.
Because the next screen, she's picking up an artifact that he specifically just told her not to pick up. And then he's like, please don't touch anything, especially not the magical artifacts. This is the Artificer's Argot, a maddeningly clever device created with the express purpose of killing magic wielders. This item is uniquely lethal to us. She says, why do you have something like that on display? He says,
it's pretty. Which is fair.
Which is just, the banter is so on point. Okay, you can carry on with the summary. I just wanted to point out that their dynamic immediately is hilarious to me.
Yes, it was quite cute. And then I really like Wong here. Like, I like Wong in the movies, but I like Wong here as well. Because he, like, goes and gets, like, the bread and stuff. And then Ileana's like, so, like, why are you doing this for your master? Like, you don't need to, blah, blah, blah. And he's all like, I'm his employee. I get paid.
Girl, I'm pulling a paycheck. What are you doing?
Yeah. And then basically he's like, for fuck's sakes, please eat more of the sandwiches as he's eating his noodles, which I thought was very cute.
I didn't notice he was having noodles.
Yeah, he's having noodles.
I did notice that there's a comically large pile of sandwiches on the table.
Yes. Apparently pastrami's a thing.
Like more sandwiches than you would need for a party of people.
Yeah. So then Ileana's like, peace out, because she doesn't want to become an apprentice. So Mr. Cumberbatch is all like, I want you to become an apprentice of mine. And she's all like, fuck you. No, thank you. Because that was the same thing that was offered to her by the guy in Limbo.
Yeah, the ruler of Limbo was like, I can make you a sorcerer's apprentice. Then he kidnapped her for 7 years until she attacked him and escaped.
Yeah.
And she finished telling Doctor Strange that, and he was like, hey, you know what'd be cool? If you were my sorcerer's apprentice.
He was like, this is fine. I think that, like, it would help you because you are cool and remarkable. And I think that I can remark on that and offer you good things. So then, you know, he gives her, like, a safe place to, like, rest and stuff, and also, like, some training lessons, which is good and fun. So she needs to learn how to do creation magic, which is like putting something into the universe out of nothing. That's not going well for her.
No.
No.
Okay. Why do you think that she cannot do the creation magic?
Well, probably because her time in Limbo kind of like made her powers develop in a way that like it's not innate to her.
Mm.
And like it's just like, it's one of those like tropes, right? When you're like doing, like you're learning magic, there's always like one thing you just can't get, like Aang and the earthbending. Because there's always one you have a hard time with, and I think that's kind of what it is.
Yeah, I mean, like her explanation for it is that she's like, I was built to destroy, I was trained to destroy, and she's like really angsty about it. I just think that she doesn't believe in herself.
Probably.
I think she believes that she was trained to destroy, and that's why she can't do the creation magic.
That is a trope. So anyways, they train, they do things, and then Doctor Strange is all like, let's go on a vacation. Let's take you to a nice island in the middle of somewhere Pacific-y, where you can like learn how to do creation magic in nature, where there is creation all of the time. Because right now they've been in this sanctum sanatorium or whatever it's called. It feels like a sanatorium, you know?
I mean,
so anyways, you know, because nature is a place and the sanctum sanctorum, again, I think that's wrong as well. I'm so sorry, Zach.
Sanctum sanctorum is the correct one. I was correcting you to the wrong thing before.
It's cool. So they go do that, and then she's like, why do you want me to be a creation magic person? Like, I can't do it. And he's like, I want to retire.
I'm tired, okay? And I want to retire.
You are a strong, independent girly. You can do magic. I don't need to be here. I think you're stronger than I am. I don't want to be here. I want to retire. I need you to do the work. So basically, this is succession planning, which is great.
It's a tough job and someone's got to do it.
Yeah. So that happens. And then she creates the soul staff, which is like an expression of her powers as a sorcerer and a tangible extension of her soul.
And it looks very cool also.
Yeah, it looks pretty neat. And then, bada bing! Blasco appears. Blasco's the bad guy here, the guy of Limbo.
The guy who kidnapped her when she was a child.
Yeah, bad guy. And he's all like holding Doctor Strange to a knife sword. Ooh. Thing. And he's like, hey, sweetie, which is fucking gross.
Yeah.
And then he's all like threatening Doctor Strange. And Doctor Strange is all like, okay, you've said your piece, GTFO. And like, I think Doctor Strange sends him either back to Limbo or like kills him. That part wasn't clear to me because comics are strange.
I am pretty sure that Ileana's the one who fights him off.
Well, like Doctor Strange is all like, shh. And I think maybe Ileana gives the final blow.
So here's what I think happens in my interpretation of the comic.
See, that's why I don't read comics.
I think what happens is because suddenly there's two Doctor Stranges and then they're like, oh, an equal match. I think Belasco turns into like a copy of Doctor Strange because he's got dark magic.
He has horns.
He's a devil equivalent. I know it's Limbo and it's not hell, and there probably is a hell in this Marvel universe, but he's like a devil equivalent. If it were Paradise Lost, he would be like Sin or something.
Sure.
Because he's got all the dark magic. He pulls his power from the edges of existence, and Doctor Strange is used to being more powerful than everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's two Doctor Stranges, I think he's like made a copy. You know how, okay, you know how in Smash Bros. On the Nintendo.
Yeah.
You can play Kirby, and Kirby can suck up the other characters that people are fighting with and kind of absorb them and take their powers.
Right, yeah.
And then spit them out again.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what Belasco does with Doctor Strange. He, like, sucks up his powers and then takes them. And he's like, aha, you can't get me because now we can do the same thing. I think that's what happens. And then I think Ileana
does a final chow.
Uses her soul staff. And I actually thought that she accidentally killed the real Doctor Strange at first.
Mm.
But she didn't, thank goodness. No. But that is the hazards of having two characters on the panel that look exactly the same.
Yeah, I found that confusing.
Especially when he spirits her away.
Yeah, yeah, because you don't immediately see that he doesn't have horns. So then Doctor Strange brings Ileana, who is dying.
Yeah, all of a sudden she is dying and he's like carrying her into this like destruction dimension. And I'm like, oh, so she killed the wrong one and Belasco's bringing her back to Limbo. No.
Yeah, so it's, what is it? It's a blight dimension. It's already dying, so it doesn't matter if she fucking destroys it, is basically what he tells her. And then she does the whole like magic blah thing,
because she had like darkness in her magic that she needed to let go of. She was like holding on to destruction within her or something.
Trauma.
She needed to drop her trauma into the trauma dimension, and now that's the trauma dimension.
It's like when your therapist says go scream into a pillow and you're like, okay, the pillow is the blight dimension.
Yes. Yes.
So then they have like this weird panel with there's other comics on it. That was confusing and a little disturbing. And then they go for lunch.
Is that the end?
No. So then they have lunch, and then Doctor Strange and Wong become like her family, which is very cute. And then she like is like, okay, cool, I'll become the next Sorcerer Supreme. And then Doctor Strange is like, by the way, you cannot dress the way that you are dressing. That is not the vibe. And then he gives her like a cloak.
Oh yeah, the cute little cloak. And then she gets her little outfit, her little uniform, her little superhero uniform, and her superhero name, I assume.
And then she becomes, eventually, I'm guessing, probably, if this were to continue, the Sorcerer Supreme under the tutelage of somebody who is mentally and emotionally available for her.
I love that for her.
Me too.
So that was a really good comic.
Yeah.
I like the parts where they had the letting go of her trauma symbolism. I like the part where she creates the soul staff and she briefly has a vision where it's like her child self holding the soul staff. That's very lovely.
And it really puts into perspective like just how small she was when all of her world was taken away from her, you know?
Yeah. I like her at the beginning as well. She's awesome.
She's a badass teenage anarchist.
That guy's being so creepy. She's like smacking him in the face with a crowbar or something.
She's a badass.
She like takes this guy's teeth out. Like it's awesome.
Yeah.
Like it's great that she can defend herself. It sucks that she has to, but it's like, man, what a service to the universe she has just done.
Yeah. So I really enjoyed it. Zach made a fantastic choice. I think he really knew his audience and that was good.
Us. We're the audience.
And then him through us.
May I give a backgrounder on what happens to Ileana when she does not come under the tutelage of Doctor Strange? Actual timeline.
Yeah, let's use Zach's backgrounder.
In the actual canon and not the like hypothetical story that we read, magic, aka Ileana Rasputina. I'm gonna say Rasputin. Ileana Rasputin.
So in the Russian, if you are a girl, your name ends with an A. If you are a boy, your aim does not end with an A. So she is, he or she would be Rasputin's daughter.
Okay. Wait. Like the Rasputin?
No, that's probably their last name.
All right, cool. It would be rad if it was the Rasputin though.
Yeah, that
like in the movie Anastasia. With his little bat, Bartok.
Dimitri.
You are hopeless. Okay, in the real X-Men comics, Magic, who is Ileana Rasputina, is the child sister of Colossus, who is an X-Men, I believe. He's an X-Man.
I don't follow the X-Men, sorry, Zach.
I think he's the guy that teams up with Deadpool in the Deadpool movies. That's why I know him.
Oh!
His name is Peter Rasputin. They were born in Soviet Russia, but because there's a sliding timescale in Marvel where, like, everything that happens in the comics happens at the time that the comics were written. So, like, because she's 16 when they're writing about her now, it would just be Russia.
Right.
But, like, in the originals, it would have been Soviet Russia. Anyway, her brother went to America to join the X-Men at 19. She was just a child. She was around 5 to 7 years old. And then a theme park-themed supervillain named Arcade which is a very silly thing, does a very not silly thing, and kidnaps the child. And also kidnaps other people who are important to the X-Men to use in a death trap, because it was the 70s. So the X-Men save her. She hung around the X-Men mansion for a little bit, becoming like the team little sister. Professor X taught her English telepathically, because he's a telepath. And she taught the X-Men Russian, which is a nice little cultural exchange that they've got going on. Then the X-Men end up fighting Belasco, who is a demon lord. He's king of the realm of Limbo, and he's a servant of the elder gods like Cthulhu et al.
Is that how you pronounce that?
Cthulhu?
Yeah.
Yes. If you want to learn more about Cthulhu, Words About Books talks about the terrible writer of all that stuff.
Interesting. Can I tell you a fun little mispronunciation fun fact that I had?
Lovecraft. Yes.
So, you know how enchiladas are food, and
yes,
echidnas are a bird.
Okay.
So I had never seen echidnas before.
Uh-huh.
Their feet point backwards. Their back feet points towards the back, not towards the front. It's very cool. They're very cool. So I was telling Sam about echidnas, but I didn't know it was pronounced echidnas. So I pronounced it echidnas, because I was like, it looks like enchiladas.
Yeah.
And I know how to pronounce enchiladas, so it has to be echidnas.
Yeah.
And then he looked at me and he was like, crickets? And I was like, you know, like the bird. And he was like, crickets? And I was like, it's Australian. And he was like, do you mean echidnas? And I was like, maybe.
Like, honestly, that's on him, because that's how it's spelled. And I don't think we should fault people for pronouncing things the way they're spelled, because it means they learn them through reading. And reading is for smart people.
Yeah, thank you. So anyways, Cthulhu, I thought was pronounced Chachulu.
You're adorable.
I also have dyslexia.
You're my most favorite. Okay, so she goes to Limbo. Time is different in Limbo. Cause and effect are really messed up. Ileana falls through a portal. A few pages later, emerges at least 10 years older and wielding a sword. So she has been to Limbo. She has spent about 10 years in Limbo. She has come back out, and only a few seconds have passed in the real world to like a few minutes. So Professor Xavier can no longer read her mind. She won't talk about it.
Wonder why? Maybe it's the trauma.
Professor X also says he would never try to read her mind. And then he tries to do that same conversation.
Of course he does.
So in a 4-issue miniseries, we learn what happened to her. Belasco took her, raised her to be his successor in Limbo as, I guess, the queen of Limbo.
Undetermined.
The monarch of Limbo. He groomed her. He corrupted her. We're going to mention sexual assault here. So just skip forward like 10 seconds if you don't want to hear that. Likely while off panel, he probably raped her. In that timeline, the X-Men failed to save her and they got trapped in Limbo. So there's a bunch of X-Men names. Nightcrawler and Shadowcat were corrupted in Limbo. Colossus was killed. That's her brother. Her only ally was Storm, who is in the X-Men movies, if you've seen the like 2000s ones.
She makes clouds.
She's very cool. Her elemental powers had waned as she aged, but she became a powerful sorceress. And Belasco's chief lieutenant also treats her creepily. Maybe Belasco would be like the Satan equivalent in Paradise Lost, and then his chief lieutenant Sim would be like Sin. Belasco kind of sounds like Beelzebub.
Yeah, very, very frightening.
So Belasco's corruption of Ileana's soul is represented in the Bloodstones. So Bloodstones are an item, I guess. And when she does evil stuff, one gets added and she gets eviler. And by the end of the series, she's at 2 out of 5 Bloodstones. And when she gets to 5 out of 5 Bloodstones, she'll become an evil avatar of demonness and summon the elder gods and, I don't know, the end of the world. I don't know.
Gotta catch them all, I guess.
Listen, it's a neurodivergence thing. We like to collect things, okay?
Even when they're bad for us.
Some of us collect rocks. Some of us collect shells.
Do some of us not collect rocks?
Do you collect rock shells or are you neurotypical?
Gotta catch them all.
Okay, so Storm teaches Ileana lots of magic. However, Ileana's soul has been corrupted by Belasco. So she learns a lot from Storm, who is like the Doctor Strange equivalent of like her magic mentor.
Analog.
Yeah, in like the real timeline. And she is still corrupted like she is in this. And she can never muster even the smallest bit of creation magic of life. So she can't make an acorn is the example that Zach has kindly given us.
Thank you, Zach.
But the X-Men arrive again, and this time she helps them, and she frees herself. She becomes master of Limbo, but tries to stay good. So she joins the New Mutants, who is the junior X-Men squad, X-Men 2.0, 2X2 Curious. She tries to be a hero Her mutant power is to create stepping discs, which are portals that can transport her or whoever she wants through time and space. If she uses Limbo to get there, so that's very interesting. So we see her doing that in this, where she's like hop and jump in the way from Doctor Strange when he's trying to put her in his little safe house.
Yeah.
And she can also manifest a soul sword.
Here's her corrupted soul, which is interesting.
Yeah. So this is like the soul staff, but a bad version,
I guess.
So it's her corrupted soul focused to a point. On Earth, it can't harm mortals, but it can break magic. In Limbo, it's much stronger. Then she does a bunch of stuff. She fights with the New Mutants. She has friends. She is roommates with Kitty. Oh, we love to see it. She becomes corrupted. She becomes an evil demon. She becomes the Dark Child Ascendant, which is something. She then sacrifices herself to save everyone. She returns and becomes the cute original little kid that we met years ago. She doesn't remember any of that. And then in the 90s, she dies of mutant AIDS.
So I think her Doctor Strange storyline is much better.
I feel like it's happier, for sure. For sure. I love that for her. I'm glad that they gave her this nice version of the story. She doesn't come back as the magic we recognize until like 2010 in the comics. So this story is like, what if she didn't stay with the X-Men after coming out of the portal and then eventually join the New Mutants? What if she were given the time and care she deserved? What if someone who knew things about magic and like had the patience to teach them to her was there to mentor her? And that's what we see. And it's very nice. And she doesn't get a sword, and she gets a staff, and it's very cool looking. And I like it.
Yeah. And then she gets a cool cape and a job security.
And a union. And a 7-day work week, because there's no sleep for the Sorcerer Supreme.
Well, I mean, she can astral project, right? So maybe there is sleep for the Sorcerer Supreme.
That's true.
Imagine if you could astral project yourself to work. Oh my god, I'd be so happy.
Imagine if you could astral project yourself to a time outside of space and time, and then have like 8 hours to relax, and then come back and do all the stuff that you need to do.
So what you're telling me is we need more hours in the day?
Essentially.
Yeah, agreed.
We have a lot of responsibilities.
I'm very busy.
I'm a very busy person. I haven't got all day. It won't cost much. Just your sanity. Okay.
Yeah, this bitch needs a cookie.
Well, that was fun. Do you have a rating scale for us?
Okay. On a scale of posting all of your life problems on Tumblr in 2013 to going to therapy, how would you rate...
Ooh.
Comic.
You know what I would rate this?
Mm.
I feel like therapy is like the canon version of the comics, you know? Like,
oh, interesting.
You really figure out, you dig to the bottom of like what's really going on. Okay, hear me out. I think that this is after you've been to therapy, you get an alternative version of therapy. So it's, you go to therapy, you come back, talk to your friends about the same problem, and then they give you separate advice.
Mm-hmm.
It's the non-canon therapy.
It's giving peer review.
I think it's talking to your friends about your problems and situations.
I like it. I like it a lot.
What would you rate this?
You know when like you've gone to therapy and then your friends come to you with problems and then you give your friends your therapy advice?
I can't imagine it. It's such a hypothetical scenario that would never happen.
Exactly. It's such a hypothetical scenario. It would never happen.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So cool. Yeah. I'm on board.
Yep. That's how I would rate it.
All right.
Very good is how I would rate it, actually.
Very good. Yeah. It was very good. Yeah. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you want us to read more of these? They were very fun and we enjoyed it a lot. And we can get our three comic book people in our lives to recommend more of them to us.
Yeah.
So that's all we have for you this week. If you would like to recommend more comics to us or talk about this comic or anything else at all, you can find us at UncitedPod on Twitter and Instagram. If you like this episode, we would love if you just keep your, don't close that podcatcher app, just scroll on up to where the 5-star button is and just hit that real quick. And it makes us feel a little soul staff in our hearts.
Yep, that's the way to do it.
That's the words that I've committed to now.
Merry consumerism to everyone who celebrates.
Yes.
And to those who don't, merry consumerism, because you can't escape it.
Happy off the grid to the rest of you.
Yeah. And you know what? I think for Christmas, or whatever you want to call it, if you want to do us a gift, because we make you happy at least twice a month, thrice sometimes, but at least twice, why don't you gift the link of this episode to someone you love?
Wow.
On our behalf.
That's beautiful. What a truly thoughtful gift that that would be. I'm sure anyone who receives it would appreciate it.
Yeah.
I know I certainly would.
Ditto. I'd be like, wow, these people remind me so much of Mansion Hill. So that's all we want for Chrysler. Thank you.
Not a sponsor. So thanks for listening, and we hope to see you in 2 weeks.
And as always, we're excited, unavailable.
Pop it to the top.
Slip and slide and ride that rhythm. Are the lyrics really slip and slide and ride that rhythm? Because that's really dirty.
Yeah, I think so.